last week, we saw the word blessed, Fu, the word happiness, Xiang, and the word sacrificial animals, Si. We saw how the words blessed, happiness, and sacrificial animals contain the message of salvation. Christ has fulfilled the justice of God on our behalf by paying the penalty for sin with His blood. What we need to do is to trust in the work that Jesus Christ has done on the cross. Trust in that He died for your sins. Now, what happens after we have trusted in Christ? What happens after we have trusted in Christ? Today, we shall consider the baffling and mysterious existence of three words in the Chinese script which tell us directly or indirectly what happens after we have trusted in Christ. We would do well to take a leaf from three Chinese words and ponder the godly wisdom of a former age. I will talk about two more next week. So what happens after we have trusted in Christ? Roman numeral 1. We have refuge in Jesus Christ as the ark of our salvation. We have refuge in Jesus Christ as the ark of our salvation. Letter A, the word boat. The word boat, chuan. The word boat comprises three characters, an iconographic record of God's preservation of eight souls, Noah's family, safe in the ark. Genesis chapter 6 verse 10 and chapter 7 verse 7 says, "And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Noah went in, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him into the ark." From 4,500 years ago, the Chinese script told the story, a silent witness to the flood event. God's salvation through the earth-destroying flood was by a craft containing Noah's family of eight persons. Astonishing, incredible, fact is stranger than fiction. Letter B, ark as refuge. Ark as refuge. In the earth-destroying flood, everything was swept away when, in the 17th day of the 7th month, all the fountains of the great deep were broken up and the windows of heaven were opened, chapter 7, verse 11. And the torrential waters which were above the firmament, chapter 1, verse 7, came crashing down from above the atmosphere. Nothing could stand in the path of the terrifying deluge. Only Noah's ark came through unscathed, preserved by God's almighty hand. During the watery judgment, the only place of refuge was within the shelter of the ark. No mere man could have conceived of the size and structure of the ark. The dimensions dictated by God to Noah resulted in the construction of a craft with sufficient room to house and keep alive the thousands of kinds of air-breathing creatures during the flood. Consider how big the ark is. It had a total floor space of approximately 8,900 square meters. This would be equivalent to 85-room HDB apartments, a whole point block. The ark was thus not a small family-sized boat for Noah and his family, but a large seaworthy vessel, the size of a large star cruise ship. Thank God for the ark, and thank God for Noah's obedience in the building of the enormous 10,000-ton boat. But wait a minute, you may say. Isn't Ji the character for some? That is different from the character for 8, ba. These are the words both from the time period between 1100 and 207 BC, indicating that the character for 8, ba, evolved into the current structure of Z. Letter C. Jesus as refuge. Jesus as refuge. Just as the shelter of the ark was the only place of refuge during the watery judgment, Jesus Christ is our only refuge from God's just wrath. He is our ark of salvation. We are subject to the wrath of God as sinners. God is holy and will not tolerate sin. He is righteous and hence must punish sin. Before the all-seeing God, we are all condemned. John chapter 3, verses 16 to 18 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." This condemnation is to die physically and spiritually, here on earth and then in hell, a death with weeping and gnashing of teeth, a death of everlasting torture in the lake of fire. Revelation chapter 20, verses 13 to 15 says, "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." How are we to escape this great terror? Christ has fulfilled the justice of God on our behalf by paying the penalty for sin with his blood. In trusting in the work that Jesus Christ has done on the cross, trusting in that he died for your sins, you have a refuge from God's wrath. Charles Wesley wrote in a hymn, "Other refuge have I none, hangs my helpless soul on thee." In another hymn, "How firm a foundation," it says, "What more can he say than to you he has said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled." In another hymn, "He hideth my soul," it says, "He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock." We also remember the way in which the 18th century preacher and songwriter Augustus Toplady handled it in what has since become one of the best known hymns in our language, Rock of Ages. Like the writers of the three songs we saw earlier, Toplady praised the same reality when he prayed, "Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from the wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure, save from wrath and make me pure." Have you had a refuge from the just wrath of God in God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you in him? Are you protected in the cleft of that rock? It is far more important for you to discover that refuge than to escape your earthly enemies. If you do not have a refuge in God's Son, from God's just wrath in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that you would discover that refuge by the end of this day. What happens after we have trusted Christ? Not only do we have a refuge in Jesus Christ as the ark of our salvation, Roman numeral 2, we are clothed with righteousness that Jesus Christ provides. We are clothed with the righteousness that Jesus Christ provides. Letter A, The word righteousness. The word righteousness, E. The word righteousness comprises two characters, an iconographic record of the righteousness that the Lamb of God clothes us with. The character for sheep covers the character for me, suggesting that Jesus, whom John the Baptist called the Lamb of God, clothes me with righteousness. Amazing! How did this truth come to be written into the Chinese script over 2,000 years before the Lamb of God won for us our righteousness at Calvary? Why did the Chinese accept that God's remedy for sin and prescription for righteousness was a lamb, not any other animal? Letter B, temptation. Temptation. Back in the Garden of Eden, with its forked tongue, Satan, in the disguise of a serpent, misleads Eve into eating the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. A forked tongue is a tongue which has not one end, but two, pointing in different directions. With one end of the tongue, the serpent speaks the truth. Your eyes will be opened, knowing good and evil. Genesis chapter 3, verse 5. With the other end of the tongue, he speaks error. Ye shall not surely die. Genesis chapter 3, verse 4. In other words, he mixed truth and error. Sometimes we call this half-truths. Let us see. The fall. The fall. Satan's dart found its mark, and Eve took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. Then came the moment of truth. Adam's fall brought all mankind into a state of sin and misery. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Man instantly fell under curse and the sentence of death. There awaits for man physical death, and in the eternity to come, another death which was called the second death, which is the separation of body, soul, and spirit from God forever, and a place of everlasting torture, as we have seen earlier in Revelation chapter 20, verses 13 to 15, under Roman numeral 1. Letter D, a promise by word. A promise by word. Then and there in the garden, God's plan of salvation was announced. As soon as man fell, God established the plan of salvation. The promise of a Savior was made to Adam and Eve. He did it by word in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, where we have the first promise of the Savior, the prohibition breached, the awful penalty of death brought upon man. God said to Satan in man's presence, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. God spoke of a seed, the seed of the woman, who will crush the head of the one responsible for bringing about the fall and defeat him. The promised salvation for mankind was the seed of woman, the virgin-born Son of God, Jesus Christ, whom John the Baptist called the Lamb of God, our perfect sacrifice. John chapter 1, verse 29 says, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Letter E, a promise by act. A promise by act. Not only was the promise of a Savior made to Adam and Eve by word, The promise of a Savior was made to Adam and Eve by act, because to Adam and to his wife, God made coats of skins and clothed them. Genesis chapter 3, verse 21 says, "Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them." To clothe the two meant that God had to sacrifice two sheep for their skins. The guilty pair learned their lesson and learned it well. There was only one way of salvation. God must come to fallen man's help. He must clothe him with the righteousness that the Lamb of God won for him at Calvary.